did talk to Ed last night. He said as well.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I thought, I said, maybe we can get through chapter 4. I need to really, after I found out we were 31 lessons down, I thought, we really got to move on. Chapter 4, Paul's writing, and he says, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. As Paul's going into chapter 4, just a reminder, is his issue with the Corinthians is their, number one, their carnality. But not only were they carnal, but they were proud. So they didn't know enough to know that they didn't know. And that's bad when and most carnal believers, you know, you ever heard this expression where somebody says, I know enough just to be dangerous. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the Corinthians, they knew just enough to be dangerous. And what they had gotten was so puffed up that even Paul couldn't address them. They had lost their respect for even the apostle. You know, it was a book I read that was, it said, you never outshine the master. And it was one of the laws of power, the 48 laws of power, and it said, never outshine the master. And what they were doing was, they were kind of outshining Paul. They said, well, we don't need him anymore. We got these guys here, and we're smart, and they're smart, and this guy, well, who is he? And they didn't realize that he had more to offer even than they did. So he goes on in chapter, and they were comparing him with Apollos and with Peter, but he said, let a man so account of us as what? In verse 1. As ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. You know, Paul had been entrusted with the message, and they had been in turn entrusted with it too. So, you know, when we believe, we just take a passive seat. We don't feel that it's our responsibility and we're entrusted with the message. We don't feel that. I don't think as a whole, as believers, we don't feel that. We feel the preacher is entrusted with it. But when he says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things that we've done for our stewardship, right? Did I mention that last week when we used to say that saying? I don't think you guys were here. We used to say the saying in Detroit that I'm a steward, my life is a trust, and I must give an account to God for my stewardship. And we would say that all the time. But you're really giving an account of what God has entrusted you with, which is this message. In Corinthians, he says a little bit further, he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's our bodies. Well, what treasure is that? It's his word. He has entrusted us with it, and he said the truth is more valuable than gold and rubies. Well, we don't really see that value though. Not much. We're like, it's all right. But he says that we are ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And we looked at a verse last week where Joseph was a steward for Pharaoh. And you know what Pharaoh had entrusted Joseph with?
He was second in command.
Do you know what he entrusted him with?
The food supply.
Do you know what he entrusted him with? Mm-hmm. All right. I just really look back at that. Look back at, it was in Genesis. Well, let's see. Genesis What's that?
I forget what it is. Because whenever he responded, you know, when Potiphar's wife approached him and he is, how could I do this thing?
Genesis,
yep, 39.
He's looking for a specific word that we're not
there. No, not. I just want you to look at the verses. It's then we looked at it last week, but I just want you to look at the verses and see. Genesis 39 and verse 4. We even knock out some of the verses. And Joseph found grace after he had been sold into to the Egyptians. Joseph found grace in Pharaoh's sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And he put some of the things that he had into his hand. He put all of the things that he had into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. So he had, when Pharaoh trusted Joseph, he gave him what? Everything he had. Everything he had was in his hands. Everything he had was in his hands. That was a faithful steward. So when he went to give he said he didn't even know anything except the bread he had on his table. So he would say, well, I need so and so or whatever. He would say, see, Joseph. And I used an example. I said, the Lord blessed the Egyptians because of Joseph. Because Joseph was a faithful steward. And Joseph is a type of Christ. But we look at this. I said last week is when I go into a assembly other than this assembly, I go in and I said, I know that I'm Joseph, in a sense, because I know the Lord has entrusted me with something that they could benefit from. Mm-hmm. If you know this grace, if you know the grace message, you know the Lord has entrusted you with something that your friends and family could benefit from, if they will hear you. Mm-hmm. If they would hear you, right. But that still doesn't negate the fact that you have been entrusted with it. Right? Mm-hmm. So he's back to Corinthians. He said, we realize that he had everything. You know who another steward was? Now that I think about it, Moses. Moses was a steward of what?
The law.
He was a steward of the law. As a matter of fact, there's a verse in Hebrews that said that he was faithful over his house. You know what's funny? I'm not thinking about it. We'll get over here. The steward I'm just using this. I usually won't do this, but it's the Greek word that's a... Okonomia. And that's from, let's just start right there. That's what it consists of. You know, if we translated oikos nomos into English, that's what it would be. House law. So that is the person who's over the house that gives what? The rules. The steward. He's entrusted with everything that goes on in the house. You see me. Paul said, we are stewards. We're stewards. coincidentally, this same word is translated as dispensation. Or if you have a different Bible, it would say or economy. It's, if you think about it, it's how you handle the funds, the finances, how you give them out. Look at Luke 12. Just hold your hand in Corinthians. Look at Luke 12. Verse 40-41. The Lord had just given them a parable about being ready to serve. In verse 41, Luke 12:41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even unto all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in what? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of the truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. So the a faithful steward is this, is you're giving the people over whom you are over their portion of meat, which in this case it would be scripture, in due season, which is right now. Let me say it in a more simpler way. And I'm just saying it. When was the last time you talked to somebody about the Lord? When was the last time you shared what you had been entrusted with someone else? I'm just throwing it out there. For me too. So, but he would say, who is that wise steward? Who is that wise and faithful steward? It's the one who's, I'm giving it out.
I got it thrown right back at me.
And that's what our job is, not so much the response from the people. It is, are you doing what a faithful steward is supposed to do?
We're serving the Lord.
Or if you want to call it that, right. But that's our responsibility. That's where, well, let's go back to Corinthians.
Even Paul talks about that we're to serve our masters, whatever they may be, as unto the Lord. Because ultimately, he's going to serve, right?
That's, look at verse 2. He says, number one, don't get excited about the position, so to speak. He says, let a man account of us as stewards of the mysteries of Christ, ministers of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2. Moreover, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, he says, moreover, above all this, it is required in stewards that a man be what? Found faithful. He says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. So, Paul's saying, for the Corinthians were looking at him and said, well, he's not a minister. He's not a credible minister. They were evaluating his stewardship. And he said, it doesn't matter to me what you think about my position. He says, I don't even judge myself. It doesn't matter if you think I'm successful as an apostle or not. because I'm not, you didn't send me. He's telling the Corinthians, you didn't send me, and you're not the one who's going to evaluate my stewardship. There's a passage in Romans that says, who art thou to judge another man's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls. So, for the Corinthians to say, oh, you're nothing, you're not an apostle, or you're not better than me, he could say, it doesn't matter to me what you think about me. He says, I know that I'm working for the Lord. Like you said, we're ministers of Christ. And he says, I don't even judge myself. That's something, huh? You know, if you have a job, you might think, I'm doing a great job at work. Until they review you and they says, you know, this, and you say, well, I thought, there's a lot of things that you're lacking. But in a spiritual sense, if we look at ourselves, there's a lot of people who minister today, and we think they're doing great things for the Lord. I wrote about it's a radio station in Memphis, in Whitehaven. I forgot the name of it. And I never saw any cars out there. And I thought, this place can't be open. But the other day I saw like 5 or 6 people out there, and they were all kind of huddled up. And they must have just gotten out of the radio station. Maybe they cut a tape or something like that. And I thought, there's whatever they put out, and it's going over the airwaves. And I bet they're thinking, you know, we did a good job today. You know, we really preached the word today. And to think what went out, and would it really be the portion of meat that the people need? 8 times out of 10, it's not. But that's why you can say this. Say, we can't judge them, per se. The Lord will evaluate their ministry. But we know if it doesn't line up with the house rules, and we know that. And who lays down the house law today? I want to let you look at this. You know what he just said in chapter 3? He says, I am a wise what? Master builder. He says, if I built the house, I built it according to the specifications that I got. And if I run the house, where do I get my specifications from? Where do you think Paul got his specifications to run the house from? Yeah. So keep that in mind. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 3. Ready? Hebrews, what comes before Hebrews? James. Hebrews, is James before? After Hebrews. Philemon, Hebrews, then James. There you go. He says, chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that buildeth all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house. As a what? Same thing. Steward, servant. For a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, and he goes on to say some other things, but what I want you to look at is the house analogy and the ruler over the house. Moses was over his house. Christ was over his house. And here's Paul. He says, I'm over what? I'm over my house now. House being keeping with it, not just a dispensation. Not just the dispensation. Last couple of weeks, we found out that the house and the field, he likened to what?
The church.
To the people, right. To the church. So he says, I'm over the building process that's taking place in you. Does that make sense? So he says, and what happens is, it should be in accordance to what I say. My word. That's why Paul can say, if you've heard of the dispensation of grace God given to me, to you, that's why he can say, I am this, and I am the minister to the Gentiles. And people say, he sounds like he's conceited. Well, he has authority to run this, what we call the dispensation of grace. He has authority to run that today.
And the need to distinguish himself from the others.
And that's why he said, now we're back in chapter 4, he says, that's why he said, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you. If you know, if, just try to put yourself in Paul's day. Well, just say you were Paul. Just stretch it out, just stretch our imagination out and say, you met the Lord. And he says, you say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And he says, I'm going to give you a message that I want you to share with everybody. Because this message will free them. This message will build them up. And you say, well, what is it, Lord? And he says, I'm going to tell you about it gradually. And what I tell you, you tell them as a faithful steward of what I give you. I've never told anybody this before. Can you do that? And you say, sure. Sure, you feel the gratitude. And he begins to tell you, and you know that they won't like it. As you begin to think, you think they'll love this. And you begin to tell them, and they says, we don't like that. And if you say it again, we got something for you. What would you do as a faithful steward?
Find somebody else to give it to.
You know what? Watch this. Let me show you something. I may have to quote this. Paul was in Corinth. No, Paul was in Ephesus. He was in Ephesus, and you know what? Here, Acts. Look at Acts 18. Hold your hand in 1 Corinthians 4. Look at Acts 18. You know what I think about Jeanette and Robert? When Robert said, you could go back to another verse and then change the subject. Or you can tell him, like, guess what, Robert? He went to another verse. He went to another verse and he changed the subject. Just like you said. Actually, I'm not really changing the subject. Listen. Branching out, yeah. Acts 18. What's that?
I'm just reading verse 1, 18.
Wait a minute. Where is it?
19.
No, that's not the. Well, you know, I'll quote this because I can't think of the verses right now. Well, Paul was, when he was doing his ministry, he went to a place, and I think it was Thessalonica, where the Lord had opened the door. He says, a great door, an effectual door, is open for me. He says, you know what? Over here, they want to hear it. They love it. They are welcoming us. And when he went over there, he had just had the problem with the Corinthians, where they rejected him. And they weren't following his doctrine. And he was over in Thessalonica where they were loving him. They were eating it up with both hands. And he said, you know what? He said, I got to leave. Because I got to go back to Corinth. So what? They don't want you back there. He said, I got to go back because I know that I have something that they need. You would think, now that's a faithful steward. Where he went over here, he could have stayed right here where, you know what, they love me, they treat me right, everything's great, they're not persecuting me. He says, but those people back here, they're on my mind because they need what I have and they don't know it.
God's burning purpose.
I couldn't write. So in his burning purpose is for the believers. It wasn't just so Paul could be accepted. It was the fact that he knew that he had something that they needed. He knew it. And just with us, he said it's required that the steward be found faithful. When I go to different places I go to, I know that I have something that they need. Not that I thought it up, as we'll see coming up further. It's not that it's so that I'm the hot ticket. It's I got the hot ticket in my pocket. You know what I'm saying? It's not that it's so much me. It's what I've been entrusted with. So when I go in, I automatically know that what I have been entrusted with is this what they need. We were in Sunday school Sunday. I had the chance to teach the Sunday school at one of the places I go to. And, you know, they give you the little booklet. I don't know why I'm looking for one here. They give you the booklet where it tells you what to say. And I said, well, I mean, it does. I said, I don't have one of these. I said, but, and by me just showing up and getting, I said, I could tell you, it was there in Job about suffering. I said, I can tell you what the scriptures say about Job and what it means, what this passage means. I said, I don't need this book to do that. I need this book to do that. Because this book is going to tell me what that guy said about it. But this book is going to tell me what God said about it. So we began to go through that. And then we got on the subject about the suffering, how it was different. I'm not related to that point. But how people today think God is punishing us. He's punishing us with Ebola. He's punishing us with this new, the children's virus that's out. He's punishing us with all these natural disasters. Everything, you know, is, see there? See, God's angry. I said, you got to know where you are. What's happening in this administration is this administration, God said, I'm not punishing you. I'm giving out grace. I'm dispensing grace. I'm administering grace. To know this, that God was in Christ, not imputing their trespasses unto them.
Go ahead. Also, Paul explained through the Old Testament why God is mad at us and why the children are coming.
Right. You know what it says? The creation groans and what?
Travails.
Now, if it could speak, and it does, what would it say?
Deliver me.
And it's telling you that right now. That's in, was it China? Yeah, in China. Was it China? But these things, you know what? And you, if you liken it to, like I said, as the older you get, what happens?
More.
You know what? I have things now. I wake up and my wife say, you know what? You're not spring chickens. You know where you have to slow down a little bit. But things start hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Where you like, well, where did that come from? Big toe hurting, arm hurting, back hurting. It's like, this didn't bother me at all. But that's what the creation is, where you see these things happening, and nobody thinks that it's just the creation that's groaning and travailing. All right, Romans chapter 8. I know that, you know what, it's for me to say it, you say, oh, he said that, so I want you to read this. Romans chapter 8. Hold your hand in Corinthians. Romans chapter 8. Verse 18. What is that? Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. He says in verse 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, and by the way, that's what we go through. Us too. You know, how many people say, why? That's what one of the things is, what Job was suffering, and they were saying, well, God punished Job, God. And what did you do? And that's what, but we, today, it's the sufferings of this present time happen to us. Yeah, think about this. You know, these just babies born, and they have defects. Or people have defects, and they think, well, do you think now that, well, who sinned? Who sinned that the baby was born like that? And the proof that everybody say that. Oh, think about this now. Suppose you met a person, a lady, who had 5 kids out of wedlock. And we know God is, marriage is honorable for him, right? Suppose they had 5 kids out of wedlock and they're all perfectly healthy. And know what they'll say? The Lord blessed me with 5 beautiful children.
Mm-hmm.
So he, you mean he blessed your fornication? That's what you're telling me? And you might have a believer who has a child who's born with spina bifida or something else. And they said, the Lord is trying to tell me something through that. No. It's just the natural. Our bodies are, they're already brought forth in sin. Our bodies are not perfect. They run very, very well, but we still are subject to things that happen, that sin is in our members.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can't look good like me. No, I'm joking. You know what I mean, though. There's some things that happen to us where, you know what? Deformities. And children aren't exempt from that. Well, the thing is, God just started the reproduction process. And it's been, even though it's tainted by sin, it's still intact enough where we reproduce, for the most part, healthy offspring. For the most part. James, yeah, you know, you had your hand up.
Putting an application for the property owner. She said God gave a confirmation that this was her house because she stayed in it 2 of the places twice. I said, oh, okay. I was saying to myself,
I'm God.
I mean, what's going to happen?
Right, that's. You know what? And see, one of the things that I try to stress is when you know what's going on, then you don't have to rely on things like that. You don't have to make statements like, you know what? I'm sure you guys got together. I'm just saying, it's like the Lord's gonna give us this house.
Actually, no. After everything we've been through, we have said, just whatever His will is, you know, just let
us
be okay with it.
But we often think that it's derived from God's opinion that day, or right, for how He feels.
And we, you know what? And that's the thing is. I better move on.
For some kind of sign of the different
right. It's
become superstition.
And that's what.
As opposed to.
But it's not, you know what? It's not just. We can all fall subject to that. I mean, I can tell you some stories that, you know, that happened to us. And. It's just, you know, you look at that and you say, wow. But I can't say that God did that. I do know, I'll say this, that He works through other believers. And if you knew a believer somewhere and they said, Mike, I know you're having problems with this, we're going to see if we can push this through. Anyway, let's get back to this and get some. So,
watch my good stuff in the
video. I don't know. But, oh, we're at 18. I'm sorry. Man, he says, for I reckon, 18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature, by the way, when he said in the creature, he's talking about the world, creation, right? You know what's funny? He uses a proper noun for it. He said that, verse 20, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of what?
Corruption.
The bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole United States, Africa, Asia, Australia, Antarctica, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now.
Until
even when Paul's writing, he says, even now. So we're reading it, and guess what's happening? Even now. Until now. It's still groaning and travailing. And you'll see more and more. Where it says, that volcano has never erupted. Well, guess what? If we hang around a little longer, it'll do it again. And it says, it's waiting. Just like we're waiting. So, if you know that as time goes on, you get more and more corrupted. What do you think is going to happen to the earth? As it, you know, they said, well, it's the global warming. Okay, whatever you want to call it, as whatever it is. If you like that, that's great. But we know that it's not getting better. Okay, let's go back to Corinthians. Chapter 4. Things degrade naturally. The natural process of things is for it to degrade, not to increase in strength. And look, Paul said this, our outward man perishes. The inward man is renewed day by day. It's the spiritual part of you that's growing and getting stronger and stronger. The outer part, the mortal part, is getting weaker and weaker. He says it will be sown, that is, when you, it will be sown in corruption, sown in dishonor. Won't be, you won't be, they can give you Botox, they can give you facelift, they can give you all the weeds, the hair, anything we want. They can try to patch this and keep it going. But you know what? It's going down. Joan, right, Joan Rivers. Yeah, I mean, this.
She was
young.
She was artificial looking.
And that's what you'll end up with. I don't care what they do. You can paint the outside of it. But the, there's the processes on the inside, the systems, circulatory, respiratory, neurals, skeletal, muscular, all those systems, you know what they're doing? They're breaking down. And it's just a matter of time to be done. Chapter 4, he says, verse 4, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. So he, there's today. Today is coming. Is all this labor that people are partaking in out here. Everybody says that, you know what, I'm working for the Lord. I'm doing this for the Lord. He says, let them go, because the day is coming, he says, where I will determine what you put in. I will determine the value of your work. I will determine how you labored and why you labored. You know what I like? He says that he will make manifest the counsels of the heart. You know what would be great? Well, maybe not so great. If you knew, if you just knew, just for once, for one day, if you knew everything she thought.
Okay.
Because you know what? You don't know. If you knew the motive, if you knew what people were thinking, if you knew that. Well, I'm gonna say wonders, but you, because then everything, your counsel is infallible. But you can say, I love you, and I want the best for you. But really, in the back of my mind, is I never liked that person, or whatever the case may be. But nobody knows that except the Lord. That's why Timothy, when Paul calls him, he said, in the day where God will evaluate it, he calls him the righteous judge. He said, the Lord, the righteous judge, he'll reward me, and not just me, but all those others who love his appearing. And that's just the thing, though. He said, the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of a man. You know what? You don't even know why I come here. You don't know why I come here every week. You don't. The cookies, the cake. You don't know that. You don't know why I teach the things that I teach. You only go by what I tell you. Maybe my actions may give you a clue, but you can't really tell. I don't know why you come here. I can assume some things. You know, you might, this might be a day, I don't feel like going home right now. So I'm going to go over to the church, I'm go to the building and sit down. Now, who knows? But you know who does know? The Lord knows. And whatever we do, the things we do, whether you give your time, your money, your praise, whatever it is that you do, you know, under the guise of Christian love or activity, I'm not saying that this, I'm just saying that you can't tell. You can't tell what a person's motive is. You might, oh, well, that's great. They do a great job. You don't know what they're thinking. They might want you to pat them on the back. So, oh, this is a great job. Whatever the case is. And when the Lord gets a hold of it, He knows. That's why I love it. Paul said in Romans, he says, in the day where God will judge the secrets of men according to my gospel. Can you imagine that? Just the Lord knows you. He knows you. What's going on up here? He knows. That's why, you know what? I don't get excited about when we got through Sunday. We got through Sunday, and one of the deacons, you know, oh, good job, brother, good job, brother. You know, I'm thinking, okay, I'm just thinking about the people. Were they edified? I tried to be as plain as I could. And I got ready to leave, and the pastor was gone. I said, is there anything that you need me to do before I leave? I said, I have to meet somewhere else. I said, but if you need me to do something, I can make a call and let them know I won't be there. I said, you need me to stick around and help. I said, I don't want the guy to tax himself out where, you know, you got the deacons. And then this one deacon, he's got to do everything. He's got to open up devotion. He's got to take up the offering. He's got to compliment. He's got to do. I said, is there anything you want me to do? And he said, he didn't say it. He said, no. He said, we're going to use her to do it. There was like a girl in there. Not you, Lucas. There was a 12-year-old girl in there. He says, no, we're going to let her do it. So we're going to use her. And I thought, wow. And I thought, where you say, no, you've done enough. You can leave now. But I thought, I said, if we were, like Paul said, if a man accounted of us as just stewards and ministers and nothing more, then he would say, oh, I'd be glad for you to stay here and help us as a man and over, you know, overseeing the, helping him oversee the assembly. But I don't know his motive. He may have said, I heard enough of him. It's time for him to go wherever he was going. But you know who does know? The Lord knows. So I said, you know what? I said, well, I was just, you know, offering the service. I said, I'll be praying for the message that is edifying for the people. And I'll see you guys next time. And they were looking at me like, why are you leaving? I'm like, he doesn't want me here. That's why I'm leaving. I'm like, I'm not going to override him. So, I don't, what can I say? Who knows? But, what is that? Paul says, I judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the what? Hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then every man shall have praise of God. you know what? I'm sure. Well, I'm gonna say I'm sure he could have gotten done. We got done, and he could have got up there, and they would talk about how much they love the brethren and how much they love the Lord. And he knows in his mind that he has something that he didn't embrace another brother, whatever the case was. And you'd be surprised. You know, I've gone to places where people ignore me. They won't even shake my hand. Like I could be standing right there. He'll be looking around like, what's that like? And I said, but you know what I like is, in the same thing I just read works the other way. They don't know why I'm there. If they think I'm there and they have an agenda, then you know they are. He might want my spot. I don't want his spot. I don't want his spot. You know what I want? You know what I want? I don't want his spot. You know what I want? I want him. And that's why go. Have no other. I talk to people and say, don't leave your church. I'm not asking you to leave your church. You stay right here. Because I don't want anybody to say, he came in and broke up the church. No, you stay right there and you try to help them. They know you. They don't know me that well. If they know you, if you get it, you can help them. I don't have anything invested except his edification. Because I realize that I'm striving to be a faithful steward of the mysteries of God, the mysteries of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. That's where I think, right there. That's what I think. And when we go, even a little bit you have, I'm going to say this and stop. You say, well, I don't know all the message like you know. You know some. Don't you? Mm-hmm. And it could be nothing but this. Be kind, tenderhearted, one to another. Can he trust you with that? That's not there. Yeah. Be a faithful steward of that. And then I'll give you more. How about that? Or he says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. You know what salt does? You know, you watch Top Chef, if you watch Chopped, like I watch Chopped and Top Chef, and they sprinkle it. Sometimes they get it and they say, it would taste a lot better if it had a little more salt on it. So, you know what? Things we say, it might be a whole lot easier for people to get if they had a little more salt on it. Not from just looking at her, because we can do that. So anyway, let's stop there. We'll pick up verse 5 next week. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the time spent around your word. And we pray that tonight was a time we spent for your glory and for our edification. And we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your son. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.